Joe, I think that what we need to do is examine the entire Federal Reserve institution and whether they have been successful. I'm speaking, actually, I'm going to be in the building this evening. There is a regulatory conference that begins tomorrow. I'm the keynote speaker tonight talking about regulation. The Fed as well deals with monetary policy, regulations, financial stability. And again, I think that we should think, has the organization succeeded in its mission? You know, if this were the FAA and we were having this many mistakes, we would go back and look at why has this happened?
So there you have the Secretary of Treasury, Scott Bessent, talking about the Fed and what's going to maybe happen next. Of course, we know that Donald Trump does not really appreciate Jerome Powell. That's an understatement. What is the Fed? What are they supposed to be doing that they're not? Is a great guest to have on to discuss that. Steve Moore is with us. He's a distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation, a Trump economic advisor as well. In his book, The Trump Economic Miracle and the Plan to Unleash Prosperity Again. I wonder which chapter we're back in your book right now, Steve, in the midst of this second term for the president. Welcome back to the show.
Well, hi, Annie. Great to be with you. Excuse me. And, you know, I think that Scott Bessent has really nailed it here. The Fed has a pretty spotty record over the last few years. I mean, remember, it was Jerome Powell as chairman of the Fed who allowed the inflation rate under Joe Biden to go up by, remember, it hit a high, I think, of 9.2% in 2021-22. It was a disaster for the country. And the Fed's job is to keep inflation under control, and they haven't done it. And if you were angry about how much grocery prices cost and gasoline prices cost and your utility bills cost during Biden's presidency, the number one culprit, of course, was Joe Biden, because he was the one who had the spending spree that allowed that to happen. And then Jerome Powell accommodated all that spending with massive increases in money into the economy, and that caused the inflation. So he's got to go. If I were, I would probably just let him serve. He's got about, I think, 6 to 8 months left, and then replace him with someone who knows what he's doing. The other issue, as you know, Annie, is that he's been financially incompetent at the Fed Reserve Board. So I'm sure you followed that story of $2.5 billion of renovating the $2.5 billion renovate the Fed Reserve Board meeting with marble staircases and, you know, ornate waterfalls and, the terrace gardens up in the top floor, all of this stuff for a government bureaucracy. It seems outrageous.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't seem like, yeah, this is really fiscally responsible.
Exactly.
with the American taxpayer dollar.
He has a lot of nerve to say Congress is spending too much money when he spends money like that, as if it's all he has to do is go downstairs in the basement and let him print off more $100 bills and he can pay the bills for the Fed. So there is no love lost between these two. Every time I see President Trump, I should have never nominated, Joe Powell.
Too late.
Yes, that was
he calls
a mistake.
Him too late. Yeah.
And he doesn't make a lot of mistakes, but that was a mistake.
So we're speaking here with Steve Moore, and the economy, this is our best guest that we have all week on the economy. So I want to ask you something that I saw kind of percolating towards the end of last week on social media. And I have my questions, too. A lot of people want to see prices come down. Now, they certainly have on certain things like gas. We've talked about the price of eggs. That's come down. But it can still be shocking to go to the grocery store, to go if you've got to repair something in your home. The cost of goods has just gone up so much for so long. There are people who are suggesting that tariffs are benefiting domestic companies and they're not passing those savings along to the consumer. And I just wondered if you had any clarity you could offer us in when we might see some of these other prices of goods and services coming down.
Well, so first of all, as I just said, the inflation rate went up to 9% in 2021 under Biden and Jerome Powell. And over the 4 years he was president, the average inflation rate was nearly 6%. So it was horrible for people. I mean, and if you looked at the things you had to buy, the essentials, your food and your groceries, and you have to pay your, education costs and all these things, those went up by 25 or 30%. So it was, Americans lost money when Joe Biden was president relative to inflation. you don't want to, we don't really want to see, what we want to see is prices just stabilized. I mean, unfortunately, we've ratcheted up prices to a new high, and that is the, now we have to basically make sure they don't keep rising. And the recent, reports show where inflation is now growing at only 2.5%, not 5 and 6%. So we're getting there. Will food prices go back to where they were in 2020? I doubt it. But I want to make sure every time I go to the grocery store, I'm not getting sticker shock with higher and higher prices.
I wanted to ask you also about the Trump accounts. These is $1,000 invested into an account on behalf of newborns born, I guess, maybe this year through 2028, possibly. This is, to me, kind of, it's going to be tied to the market, is my understanding. This is kind of the opposite of an entitlement that would happen at the end of life. There's something that's created at the beginning of life. Is this a handout to a taxpayer handout to people, or what are your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, I'm of mixed minds on it. I mean, I do like the idea of having young people build up equity over their life. And if you start with some equity when you're born, you know, of course, it's an unearned benefit because nobody who's 1 year old can earn that benefit.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, that money has to come out of someone else's wallet. There's no such thing as free money. So I like the idea, though, of allowing people to tap into what Albert Einstein once called the most powerful force in the universe, which is compound interest. What I'd like to see done as a complement to this is, starting tomorrow, every young person who's, let's say, listening to the show under the age of 40, you get to take 10% of your paycheck. And instead of sending in the Social Security, black hole, you put that into a similar kind of account. And it's, by the way, it's your money. You earned it. And you get to you don't choose how it's invested. You just invest in an index fund of all the stocks in the S&P 500 and the Russell 2000. And you ride the wave, because those things are going to go up. And then when you retire, you're going to get a Social Security benefit that'll be about 2 to 3 times higher than Social Security would offer you. So I love that idea. We should have done, George W. Bush proposed this, 25, 30 years ago. We should have done it. It was, think about this. The Dow in 1984 was 1,000. Now it's 45,000. So we want to make sure every American owns a piece of the rock, but they can't save money because Social Security takes the money right off the top of their paychecks.
Right. I mean, so you said under 40. I'm 41. So
you're out of the prices.
I really feel like I'm going to be in a position where whatever happens to Social Security, there's going to be a group of people who are in a transitionary period. I just assume that I'm going to get screwed in it, but maybe I won't. What if you're somebody who's my age right now and you're looking forward to Social Security? Does a change have to be made before I get there for that Social Security to be there for me to partake in?
Well, I think it's a good question. One of the mistakes I think Republicans make is they keep talking about, cutting Social Security. Occasionally they do, cut Social Security benefits in the future. I'm like, well, wait a minute. What? No, Social Security. So the problem isn't Social Security pays you too much. It pays you way, way too little. I mean, I've done the calculations myself. I'm a lot older than you. I just turned 65. So I've spent 45 years paying into this system. If I calculate, if I just put that money into a 401k account, by the way, I looked it up, my Social Security benefit will be $3,200 a month until I die. If I had a private account like I'm talking about, a personalized account, my benefit wouldn't be $3,200 a month. It'd be $12,000 a month.
Wow.
So, why are we telling people you're getting too much? No, folks, the worst possible investment you will ever make in your entire life, hopefully, I hope you don't make a worse investment than this, Social Security. You're going to get a negative return on the money you put into it. So I would say someone like who's your age, you say, your early 40s, what I would do is say, okay, from now until you retire, you can put some of your money into a private account. And then when you retire, you'd get some of your retirement benefit from a personal account and some of it from the money you've already put into Social Security. And then you phase it out over time. Mm-hmm. And also I'd make it voluntary. So I know some of you listen, no, I don't want that. I just want the certainty of Social Security. Okay. I would make it optional. You can keep the Social Security and you can keep paying in and get this crappy benefit if that's what you want. Everybody should be able to make their own choice. Mm. But my gosh, this would be such an opportunity. And think about this. Every American then under this plan would own a piece of the rock, would own America.
Yes. So much so. Well, Steve, I'm counting on Social Security, and my husband is a middle school teacher. He's counting on an Illinois teacher's pension. So,
well, look, I mean, the economy has really picked up a lot. I mean, we kind of buried the lead here. I mean, we got the big beautiful bill passed 2 weeks ago. Then last week we got the rescission bill passed. So sorry, Elmo, you're not going to get any more federal tax dollars.
He had a rough week.
I know you're going to have to struggle. I mean, Elmo. Probably a billionaire, wouldn't you say? I mean, the technomillionaire. So why does he need your and my tax dollars?
No reason that's been given is one that is good to me. So I'm still waiting on that. Steve Moore, a pleasure to have you back. Thank you so much for being with us today. Take care.
Bye bye.
He is a distinguished fellow. That is an official title. One day, I don't know. We've had this conversation before, but if a female is a fellow, are they a fella? I would like to be a distinguished fella in something. I don't even care what. I just want a card that says Annie Fry, distinguished fella. I don't know what it would be in. He's a Trump economic advisor as well. Helped create the Trump tax cuts the first time around. And, of course, a big champion of getting them passed in the big, beautiful bill. You can check out his book, The Trump Economic Miracle and the Plan to Unleash Prosperity Again. In a couple of segments here, maybe 15 minutes from now, we're going to speak with Joe Concha. I'm going to ask him about the crushing blow to the Colbert Show. I know you guys are devastated. You're not devastated. They shouldn't even be surprised. If you know if you have an understanding of how massive of a production the Colbert Show was, just to indoctrinate the listeners and give them that misery loves company constant feedback of anger and rage that lefties have. Yeah, it's just like why is Colbert needed on CBS? Well, they said he's not. He's gone. Joe Concha will talk to us about that and the continuous wins of the Donald Trump administration after the greatest comeback ever, which is Concha's book. How's he doing in his presidency? That's coming up at about 1:30. Let's get Ryan back in here. And pretty soon we're going to talk about this YouTube poll. What's the likelihood of President Obama getting arrested? We'll talk about that next. Don't go away. So the YouTube poll for today is asking, what's the likelihood President Obama is arrested? You've got four options. Never, ever going to happen. More than 0%, very possible, or imminent. Brad, what are your thoughts on this poll?
Man, I look at this and like my initial gut reaction is never going to happen. But man, it's not 0%. So that's where I would vote more than zero. I'm not saying I'm going to give it a lot more than zero, but it's more than zero.
So the story over the weekend is that Tulsi Gabbard... I'm going to read here from the Fox News report because this is the latest installment. This report was done at 11 o'clock this morning. The Department of Justice confirmed Monday that it has received Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard's criminal referral related to her bombshell claims that Obama era officials, quote, manufactured and politicized intelligence to create the narrative that Russia was attempting to influence the 2016 presidential election. Fox News has confirmed. The Department of Justice declined further comment, but confirmed to Fox News that the department received the referral. Gabbard released unclassified documents Friday that reportedly show, quote, overwhelming evidence that then-President Barack Obama and his national security team laid the groundwork for what would be the years-long Trump-Russia collusion probe after Trump's election win against former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in 2016. Of all of the people who could go down for being a part of this, who would you like to see? Because, first of all, let me ask this question so we're on the same page. Do you believe, Ryan, that Barack Obama led an orchestrated, manufactured attempt to undermine and take down President Trump?
100% believe that.
No questions about that at all.
I don't think that you... If you're following the evidence, you really can't come to any other conclusion.
Brad, do you believe that?
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think that there's any doubt in our minds that this happened. There are lots of doubts in people's minds. But the three of us in here, we've thought this for a really long time. Mm-hmm. Years. I have had children that are now 4 years old and older since all of this stuff ended up coming to fruition. So... it's not a question of really did it happen. The real question here is, can you prove it? And how big, how many people put their hands in the middle and agreed to participate in this soft coup. Who do you want to see? If all the people who could be implicated, could be handcuffed, you know, it has been a thing now in politics to pursue the mugshot. Whose would you like to see the most?
All these names are out there. James Clapper, Jim Comey, John Brennan. That guy's real close to the top of the list. John Brennan just lies through his teeth every time he gets on TV, and he has TV contracts now, amazingly. But it's still got to be Obama. I mean, Obama, it was the head of this whole thing. None of this would have happened if the president wasn't in those meetings directing. They know for sure that the president had to have directed this to happen because they know from his daily briefings that he directed them to be a certain way. And the only person that can direct those things is the president. You can't have other people saying that. It has to be the president of the United States saying this is the way the briefing has to read. So you know it was him.
All the biggest big fish is clearly Barack Obama.
It has to be him.
It's almost tied with Hillary Clinton.
Oh, I would say this is bigger than Hillary.
Brad, who's the person? I'm not asking you like who you think is the biggest person necessarily, but it's like who are you going to relish? Sit here after a decade of covering this. Who are you going to relish watching get theirs?
Oh, for
sure. Is yours Obama?
Well, it's still Obama, but Obama's so savvy that he's kept himself from being as disliked as some of those other guys,
so you
like
think
John Brennan.
There's a lot further for him to fall.
Yes, I do. And he's more of a surprise in this because you like those other names. They're like the swampy deep state people.
The plausible deniability that he's been able to straighten his tie and kind of coolly walk through, bob and weave through the whole thing. He seems as though he could be detached from it. And I don't necessarily think he'd be stupid enough to make the mistakes that he's going to have to. I'm not going to say that. That he would have to be accountable for. Metaphor for that, but it's just inappropriate. I think Obama definitely in my mind has the longest to fall.
Yes, his reputation right now is still
so you're
that
still,
he's beloved.
So you Obama is still the person who you'd want to see the most.
Yeah, yes, not just because of like my person. I know that's your question is, you know,
who's
would
gonna
you
be the most
personally
fun?
Like to see, but I just think Obama has gotten away with so dang much.
Okay, I'm on the other side of that spectrum. I want Adam Schiff to squeal all the way
well,
home,
I hear
like
you.
A wee, wee, wee little pig that he is. I will just sit there and just like giggle the whole time. I think I will be sad for America if that were to happen to Barack Obama. I would be gleeful to watch Adam Schiff squeal. I think he would.
Well, if we're going down that road, I'm going to throw Nancy Pelosi in there and say I would like to see her account for a lot of the crap she's been involved with.
She definitely has been involved. What about you, Brad?
I'm still Barack Obama. Ryan mentioned that he bobbed and you said bobbed and weaved. Ryan mentioned that he was very savvy in getting his way through there. Barack Obama has worked really hard his whole life to create this squeaky clean image of this guy who's just doing America's work and he's out here for the best of Americans. There's no red states. There's no blue states. There's
really
only the United States.
I don't think that's what Obama has done, though. He said his whole predicate for his presidency was he wanted to transform it and he was telling us how crappy we were.
But he was doing it under the thing that I'm a good guy and I'm going to help us be better while the whole time he's undermining the United States to the point where he was turning, like if these allegations are true, he is the threat to democracy because you said it in the very first segment of the show. They don't want you to pick the vote who's going to be president. So he did his very best while talking about how sacred democracy is. He did his very best to undermine democracy and say, no, you don't get to pick Donald Trump. We're still in control and you don't know what's good for it. That man has to fall all the way off the pedestal, all the way to the bottom.
I don't know how you feel about it, Ryan, but I think Obama's been the most on the face honest about it the whole time. He said when he was running for office, he said he wanted a what else could fundamentally transform the United States of America mean? Like, what else could it mean other than to say everything that we are and know ourselves to be, trash that. I'm going to change everything. And then he promised us socialism. He did it with a smile and he was cool about it, but he told us the entire time. I mean, I'm not surprised that he's a dirty dog here at all. I've been waiting for the opportunity for him to get what he deserves. But I don't think that Barack Obama is lauded in corners around this country anymore. I think people on both sides of the aisle feel pretty ticked at him.
I don't know. I think there are a lot of... So both of what you guys are saying, I'm not saying like, oh, I'm arbitrating between the two. But what you're saying is that Obama was very honest in saying that he was going to be a radical, basically. I think what Brad's saying is that there is a very compliant media apparatus that has taken what he said that was radical and
yeah,
very
open
about
it. Yeah, but that's on
it.
The media. That's not on Obama.
And shaped an image of him, though, to the rest of America and to a lot of people even now today who still think that he's just a good guy. He's a family man. He's a progressive. He was just in it for the right reasons.
Yes, duh. Because, I mean, even we had Chuck Todd and Jake Tapper. I was thinking Scarborough, but it was Chuck Todd and Tapper. We're just having their little podcast conversation about how, you know, we really did everything we could to paint Joe Biden like he was a hardworking dad from Scranton. He'd get on the train every day and he would, you know, commute to work so he could be at home. But they say in that actual podcast, they're like, do you know that, like, the day that his wife died, that he was, like, he prioritized his Senate campaign over being with his family? They are telling you there are a lot of ways that we could have packaged this differently. And they're kind of doing, like, a mea culpa about it. And we're all saying way too freaking late for that. While all of the media was eating out of Barack Obama's hands, for what reason? I don't know. Obviously, they felt like they had a good relationship there in one way or another. Barack Obama was out there telling everybody that he was a radical. He was saying it. So if you have two ears and two brain cells to rub together to make a complete thought yourself without letting the media come in and try to persuade you, he's just a really good guy. He's so cool. Have you seen him, walking around the White House with his sleeves rolled up?
He hangs out with Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. How modern and cool is that? I don't think it takes much to look at Barack Obama and listen to what he's saying. Affordable health care, socialized health care. I mean, he was telling us the whole time what he wanted to do. And then he went and did it. The media absolutely gave him the massive assist that was needed. But Obama, to me, he's always said who he was going to be. It required an apparatus to support him in that regard. But I don't think that he's some sort of deceiver. I think he's the benefactor of a lot of...
Well, he's a deceiver in that he's gotten away with a lot of crap.
Yes, but they paved the way for him. I think he was telling us what he was doing the whole time, and since nobody else was calling him on it, except for maybe the Fox Newses of the world, the Joe Conchas of the world, consistently calling him on it, I think he's gotten away with a lot, and he was able to be partially honest throughout the course of it. I think Barack Obama hates America, and I don't think he's ever lied about that. Let's take a quick break. Joe Concha, Fox News contributor, on the Andy Fry Show next.
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
So, Joe, I know it's a sad week for you. Cole Bear gets the boot, and it's because he spoke truth to power. I thought you might have some thoughts on that.
And he did it in a bipartisan way. Was that person, like, seriously, like, on drugs? Like, but what... That analysis was the most profoundly dishonest and unhinged thing I've ever heard in my life.
Joe, it was the former NPR chief.
Of course. Oh, U.S. taxpayer dollars. No longer going there, thank God.
But, another win.
Yeah, my hair hurts. I got to explain this one more time. I'll be happy to for your rather large audience there, Annie. Look, Stephen Colbert is getting paid $20 million a year. They had more than 100 staffers on that show for a show that's basically two people talking for most of the hour. It's not even an hour without commercials. That's more like 38 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And then their production budget was $130 million per year. So overall, Colbert was losing anywhere from $40 to $50 million per year for the past several years, and that is not sustainable. CBS and Paramount are in the business of making money, not hemorrhaging it, and that's exactly what was happening here, and he had to go. It's that simple.
Yeah, I can think about, you know, I don't know if you ever sit down and actually watch these people. I know you study the media, and which is why we love talking to you about it. I only see the clips that conservatives can't believe actually happened on X. That's where I consume my Colbert. But I don't remember conservatives, Republicans ever going on a show. I don't know if they were invited and they said no. But is there a more partisan effort in late night TV right now, which is a pretty tall order because relatively they all lean to the left. Colbert seemed like the worst of them.
It was easily the worst of them. Yeah, Kimmel's a very close second. I shouldn't say easily the worst, but yeah. And I decided to look at the guest list. Like, who appeared on Colbert's show the most over the last 10 years since he launched in 2015? Bernie Sanders, 21 times. Okay. The Cherokee Chris Rock, who is Elizabeth Warren, 16 times. All right. But here's the stat to end all stats. Okay. Anderson Cooper, Jake Tapper, and Rachel Maddow have appeared on that show a combined 40 times.
Holy cow.
Yeah, these are not funny people. They are insufferable. And I could go through the list. Stacey Abrams loses two gubernatorial races and still got on four times, which was the same amount as Seth Rogen, who's actually, you know, a comedian. So I that's the thing. He took this format that Letterman handed to him, quite frankly, Leno and Johnny Carson before that, Conan O'Brien, and said, you know what, I'm just going to do MSNBC at night. And for the first couple of years when Trump won, it worked. But then it got so old and so stale and so predictable, and those are three things you can't be in comedy, that people stopped watching. And now Colbert, despite being in more homes and having, as I said, huge production budget, 100 staffers, 18 writers, still gets a million viewers less than Greg Gutfeld, who, trust me, I know where Greg's team sits. It's maybe eight people.
Yeah.
And
yes.
He's able to do that for virtually nothing compared to Colbert.
We have a lot of the, like, we've had Joe DeVito, he's been in studio with us many times, those comedians come through St. Louis, great. And we have them come in the studio, and they talk about how effective they are and efficient they are, and how a lot of people in media now can't even imagine what you would do with all of that money if you had that in your production budget.
Seriously, and what? I don't understand where $130 million is going, like, per year. For, again, it's mainly a conversation between two people. All right, you pay the band. I guess there's something there that may cost some money. But, I mean, it just seems like it's so typical, actually, that Colbert presided over a show where spending and making money were much like the way Democrats actually govern, right? It's the same thing. Yeah, we're just going to throw money at the problem. And, yeah, if we lose money, no big deal, because we're speaking truth to power, whatever that means, in Stephen Colbert's world, where, again, this is a guy whose most viral clip ever was when he did a dance routine with vaccine needles during COVID to urge everybody to get the vaccine. The second most viral probably was when he said that we should save the environment and everybody should drive an electric car. And he doesn't mind paying $5 per gas under Joe Biden because, well, he has an electric car. It's like, well, dude, most people can't afford electric cars.
Right.
You know, they can't, so they can't afford $5 per gallon gas. But he was just so pretentious and pious. And you're right. Just he was the worst of them. But Kimmel is not that far behind.
Yeah. And I wonder what happens next from you talked about, like, the leading with Bernie Sanders there. Like, when I want to relax and, you know, kind of have a little chuckle sitting on my couch at night after the day is done, I'm not like, gosh, I'd really like to see more Bernie Sanders. And Jimmy Kimmel, I don't think an angrier person in entertainment television than Jimmy Kimmel. What happens next for late night TV? Is this a shift? I mean, Greg Gutfeld's show is obviously reshaping the landscape, but it sounds like, I think I heard, they're not going to replace Colbert with another nighttime show. Is that accurate?
Yeah, the late show actual brand, the franchise is going away completely. So they're not going to obviously bring anybody back in his place. And that's because the late night model is officially broken. We see that ad revenues are down, Andy, now from 2018, 50%. All right. So just in 7 years, 50% of the ad revenue is gone and the numbers go down with it. So, yeah, Jon Stewart's going to be next. You could save the tape right now because Skydance is going to acquire Paramount. Skydance also owns Comedy Central. They don't want to lose money over there either, paying Stewart, you know, an enormous amount of money just to do a show one day a week. He's like the Rachel Maddow of Comedy Central. And I got to think also with Kimmel, I think he'll go away because they're all losing money. So this broke the dam. And the only guy that's going to be left standing is Greg Gutfeld because he has the numbers to support it. And again, he's not costing his network a fortune to produce that show.
Exactly. Last question for you, Joe Concha, before we let you go. Is Donald Trump in some way, shape or form responsible? Like, did he win so big that that their model no longer has value?
Well, if you listen to Ryan Stelter, he says, well, the only reason why Colbert is being canceled is because Donald Trump ordered it, you know, because Trump's only been getting hammered by this show for the past 10 years, but then suddenly decided he couldn't take it anymore. But overall, the culture, yes, is changing in this country. I mean, we see it now. I remember Tom Brady when he was with the New England Patriots, and a reporter discovered a MAGA hat in his locker.
Gasp.
And then Brady was like completely pressured. You're going to apologize for that, right? You know, and Brady's like not the most outspoken guy, you know, when he was playing, just kind of said all the right things.
Right.
So he just said, oh yeah, somebody gave it to me. It's in my locker. No big deal. Now, NFL players, LPGA players, they're all proud to say they voted for Trump. Like, and that's the shift now. It's like, oh, you're angry that I voted for Trump? F you. Sorry. I like lower inflation. I like a border that's closed. I like the fact that Iran can't launch a nuclear weapon in a couple of months or years if they wanted to. I like all of these things, and I'm not going to apologize for it anymore. So, yeah, that's the culture shift we're seeing, where political correctness and wokeness is definitely going by the wayside.
Yep, 100%. Joe Concha, we are very grateful for your time today. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely, Annie. Take care.
You as well. Bye-bye. Joe Concha is a Fox News contributor. He is also the author of an absolutely amazing book. It is a historical document. That is my assessment of it. It's called The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign. It is available right now, and I really do encourage you, if you're an audiobook person, he reads it and he walks you through, because he was writing this book as the campaign was happening. And of course, he didn't know all the things that would materialize during this campaign and ultimately how it would end up with Donald Trump winning. But I literally have goosebumps right now thinking about listening to him tell the story of the campaign, the true comeback from Donald Trump, and again, everything being thrown in President Trump's way, and everything made him stronger every time. And the American people said, yeah, I'm going with that. He's a winner. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to give you my answer to our YouTube poll question. What is the likelihood President Obama is arrested? This is an actual question that I was asked over the weekend in a conversation I was having. And one of these four answers is actually the response that I gave back to the person who asked me this question. When we come back, I'll tell you which one it was. The first one is never, ever going to happen. The second one is more than 0%. Number three, very possible. And number four, it's imminent. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So we're talking about the YouTube live chat poll. We need your votes in this. What's the likelihood President Obama is arrested? Never, ever going to happen. More than 0%. Very possible or imminent. Ryan, I told you that one of these answers was the real direct quote answer that I gave somebody who asked me this question this weekend. And you predicted that I said what?
You said more than 0%.
Correct. That was my answer this weekend. But upon thinking of it and asking that question here, I am torn between two of these answers. Leaning away from more than 0%. Does it feel like this weekend, with the release of information from the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, do you feel like there's a shift change at all?
Yes, I do. This week will be a big tell, because if she continues, as they've said she will, to drop more and more of this so that we can sort of digest it slowly, because if she came out all at once, it would be a lot. If she continues to bring more and more, I think that probability goes up.
That he could possibly be arrested.
That he could be arrested.
I don't... But, what does that even look like?
I don't know.
One of the things that I did say in this conversation was, I don't think that he would... If the arrest was imminent, I don't think he'll be around to be arrested. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, he's out living in Papua New Guinea or whatever, right?
Something. Somewhere. I would imagine that he knows somebody around this globe that would be like, come over here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, would we ever get to see that? The other question that I have for people, you can leave this in the comments as well, is do you feel like you need it? If everything is exposed and there is no perp walk of former President of the United States, Barack Obama, is it a total failure? Is there productivity for the future securing of, the Democrats would say, democracy is at stake. The constitutional republic is at stake. What was it, a republic, if you can keep it? Now's the time where we make sure that we can keep it. with transparency and accountability.
The evidence showed, the intelligence showed, that again, Russia did not have either the intent nor the capability to be able to impact the outcome of the United States election. So it was very striking when we look back again at the documents that I declassified and released that shows there was a shift in early December, the first week of December. Again, another document was produced by the intelligence community, a president's daily brief that was consistent with every other assessment that was done previously leading up to the election. Russia was not, did not, this is after the election now, did not attempt to affect the outcome of the American election.
I mean, it didn't happen. Wonder if the, I don't know, where do you even go to see what the lefties are saying? Like, where are they collected?
Well, the I saw a little bit of mainstream media on this weekend. I don't know if you did. But they are citing a separate report that said that, well, there might have been some issue somewhere at some point. Like, it was very vague. And
it's getting a little shaky.
They're not, here's the problem, and this is what a lot of redirection looks like. They're not addressing the specific allegations that Tulsi Gabbard DNI is bringing up. They're painting a separate picture of Barack Obama, of this time period. So I was glad to see them talking about it at all, because my fear was that this thing was going
to
exist in a vacuum and not even be talked about at all. So they are talking about it, but they're very much trying to explain it away.
I saw, Ron says that maybe people are talking about it on Blue Sky. Is Blue Sky lib Twitter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I heard someone call it Blue Cry one time, and that's how it's the only way that I refer to it as Blue Cry. And I'm not there. I don't want to give them the satisfaction of participating or downloading anything and listening to what they have to say. Grant on YouTube said, there's not a snowball's chance in hell that Obama will ever be arrested or held accountable in any way. So here's the question. Can there be accountability that doesn't result in Obama in handcuffs, in jail, in a jumpsuit?
Yes. Because this, a lot of people this weekend also comparing this to Watergate and saying Watergate took down a president and he resigned.
An active president.
An active president at the time, resigned in disgrace. I could see that being this.
But what is, so just his legacy?
His legacy is tarnished and destroyed. He already has a lot less power than he used to.
Think about his beautiful, well-attended presidential library in Chicago and how popular that is. And if his legacy is tarnished, it will just be sitting there in ruin.
It's true, but he had some sweet parties during COVID.
Also, his library is not finished and nobody wants to work on it. So,
and it's way over budget.
Yeah, it's a disaster. It's like, oh, wow, he really mismanaged the finances on this thing. And it's super ugly. Like, when it was supposed to be finished, it was going to be a hideous eyesore. And I mean, if I were in Chicago and Barack Obama's presidential library was there, I would be interested in going and seeing the presentation that he has to put forth. This is one of the things that nobody's talking about right now because it's post-Donald Trump in office. But the magnificence of the Trump presidential library that is going to be built on the tears of all of the people who tried to screw him over this, because he keeps suing people and winning another $40 million or whatever it is from CBS. That is going towards the presidential library.
I forgot about that.
It's over and over and over amazing. Again. The presidential library, like, please do, like, have a CBS Stephen Colbert roller coaster or something at this thing, where when we go to Florida, I think the library is supposed to be in Florida, when we go to Palm Beach to visit the presidential library, you can ride the, like, Stephen Colbert crashes into a mountain roller coaster, or like the Splash Mountain of when he wins his lawsuits against people in New York that have, like, the civil lawsuits.
Here's a go-kart ride. It's called Gone in 60 Minutes.
There you go. Exactly. These things need to happen, and they're going to be paid for. Like, by the people who tried to steal, and we have evidence from it, steal everything from him. And somehow or another, my personal belief is this God ordained. Yes, I said it. I don't know how, like, nothing else makes sense. That he would be able to navigate everything that's being thrown at him. But I mean, I would say if you're a Bible reader or a Bible believing person, the amount of broken people who God appoints to lead, and the on the face brokenness of those individuals as they're leading, sometimes their demise is very, very sad and tragic, and sometimes it's not. But it's not like God only picks people that a certain subsect of Christians say, that's the person who's God's choice. Like, that's not the way it works. There's brokenness in front of leading all of the time, mm-hmm. and that's biblical. So could God ordain Donald Trump to be a leader? Yes. Could God ordain Barack Obama to be a leader? Yes. And again, all of that is not to have Republicans or Democrats win elections. It's to bring his people home. So that's beside the point. But thinking
preach.
About...
Yeah. Yeah, 30 seconds. Preach. Come
sorry.
On.
Sorry, God. I'm on a hard break. I just think about this presidential library and how when Donald Trump builds a presidential library, it's going to be on time and under budget. And they're going to you're going to have the Barack Obama library unfinished.
Still not done.
In the middle of Brandon Johnson's Chicago, not done. And Donald Trump got the Democrats to pay for it. Just like he was saying, it wasn't the
oh
wall that Mexico was going to have pay for. It was the libs that were going to pay for his presidential library. And I want to be first in line to go into that library. We'll be right back.